Good morning again, church. If you are a guest this morning, we're really glad you're here. I hope you feel the Spirit. I hope you feel the joy of the Lord. I hope you feel the love of His people. If you are a guest, there's a card and seat pocket in front of you with a blue stripe. It says guest registration. Would love for you to fill that out. I'd love to get to know you at the end of the service. I'll be out here at this end of the foyer and would like to meet you. I have a free gift for our guests and would love to get to know you. If you will turn to Romans 5. Romans 5. I encourage you, man, if you hadn't read through Romans or hadn't read through Romans in a while, read through Romans. What an awesome word of the Lord. Romans 5. The very first word in verse 1 is therefore. What does therefore mean? Therefore, you go back to see what it's there for. You read back a little ways. So we're not going to do that, but you can do that. I was telling the early service, if you don't have a Bible, see me, I'll get you a Bible. So you can do that on your own. Verse 1, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Verse 6. You see, at just the right time, church, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates His own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by His blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through Him? Let's pray. Holy Spirit, You are indeed welcome here. We ask You now to come and be big and heavy in our midst. We ask You to speak to us in power and authority. Transform our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. So, how many of you know you can, if you're needing to learn how to do something, that you can, just almost anything, you can go to YouTube and learn how to do it. Did you know that? I'm wondering, sometimes it's like, how much time do these people have? They show you how to tie a shoe on YouTube. Well, a few months ago, probably more like a couple of years ago, our clothes dryer was making a really, really loud noise. You could hear it like a block away, and it was really getting annoying. And I kind of deducted that it was probably a bearing out. I didn't know how to change a bearing on a clothes dryer, so I got on YouTube, learned how to do it. And I did it, by golly. It lasted about, 3 to 6 months probably. We have a new dryer now, by the way. But I learned how to do it, and I did it. Well, so I was wondering, I want to make sure that I'm doing baptism right. I want to make sure that I'm doing that right. That's important. So I went to YouTube and learned how to do baptism. Go ahead, Lee, roll that.
How to perform a baptism the right way. He's fixing to show you three simple steps right here of how to administrate a baptism to perfection. The first thing that you always want to do is you want to grab this person and you want to push them under the water. If they don't fully submerge, you want to grab them by the throat and push a little bit harder. If it doesn't work that time, you always jump on them and ride them to the deep end. It works every single time.
I told the early service, I have no idea why I played that, except I couldn't stop laughing when I saw it. That poor lady, somebody please get that lady some help. Oh, man. Anyway, so today's sermon, today's message is Jesus paid for most. Oh, that's not it? What would it be then? Jesus paid for it all. So here's the problem. We say that and we know that, but do we walk that out? that we walk it out, that Jesus really paid it all. So what does that mean? I want us to just kind of, we're going to kind of unpack that a little bit today. First thing, that this one is probably, we probably live into this pretty well, probably understand this and live into it pretty well. Number one, Jesus paid for our sin and death. We understand that sin, or maybe we do, maybe we don't. Sin is not just our behavior. It's not just something that we do. It's a condition that we are. It's not just thoughts that we have. It is our DNA. It's in us. When we are in the womb, we are sinful. Jesus said, we're sinful at birth. So we need to understand that sin is not just our actions. Would you do me a favor? Would you just bow your head and pray right quick? I feel resistance from the enemy. I speak Jesus. It's in your name. Amen. So sin is not, it's not just something that we do, it's who we are. And there are consequences for the sin in our life. If we think that we're a pretty good old boy, we've kind of got our act together, the problem is we're not. We've all sinned. Listen to the passage here. The wages of sin, the wages meaning the punishment for sin, the consequences for sin, is death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. So we understand that because of what Jesus did on the cross, Jesus paid for our sin and our death. We kind of get that. Galatians says it this way, I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness, and that's the goal, the righteousness of God is the goal for us. If righteousness could be gained through the law, in other words, by being good, then Christ died for nothing. Did you know that Christ didn't die for nothing? He died to save us from our sin and the ultimate punishment of that, which is death itself. Jesus paid for our sin and death. Now, here's where it gets a little more tricky for us, church. The second thing, Jesus paid for our past, our pain, and our brokenness. Our past, our pain, and our brokenness. So the objective is not just that we understand that we're saved and that we're going to spend eternity with Jesus. That's a good thing, and we most of the time we kind of get that when we've accepted Christ, but we want it. We drag this stuff around with us. We drag this stuff with us. Some of you drug some stuff in with you this morning into church. That's not a bad thing. It's just our human nature. I'm reminded of the woman caught in adultery. You can find that in John chapter 8. And so this crowd, these Jewish people, they threw this woman down in front of the circle around her, and they're all standing over her, judging her because she had committed adultery. Now Jesus steps into the picture. Now Jesus is not condoning adultery, but he has something to say to these people. And they're saying, hey, by the way, I wonder where the man was, by the way. She didn't do it by herself. So this woman's down there, and they got their rock. And they're all circled around her, and they're saying, the law, see, this woman's been caught in adultery. The law says she should be stoned. What do you say, Jesus? And don't you love it? Man, I love this story. Jesus bends down and he starts writing in the sand. He might have had his finger, might have had a stick, and he starts writing. What was he writing? We don't know. Maybe he, and I was told there in the church, maybe he was writing some of the names of the people in the circle. Billy Bob. And I told the early service, if your name is Billy Bob, I'm not talking about you. I'm sorry. Billy Bob. Or maybe he was writing some of the sins that the ones holding the rocks had committed. But he's scratching in the dirt. What do you say, Jesus? The law says we should stone her. Jesus stands up and he says, I tell you what, if you don't have anything, any sin in your life, you'd be the first one to throw the rock. And you can almost, read the scripture, you can almost hear the rocks one by one thudding, dropping to the ground. And they're walking away. And they all walk away. The crowd walks away. And Jesus said, where are the people that condemned you? They're not here. Neither do I condemn you. Jesus is teaching us. He's not teaching us that it's okay to commit adultery. He's teaching us that I'm a merciful God. I'm a merciful God. You don't have to drag your past around with you. You don't have to drag your pain and your brokenness around with you. And Cody and I were talking before this service, and I probably won't get capture exactly what we were saying, but basically we think we know best. We think, well, God, man, God, you know, God can forgive. He can save me, and yeah, he can buy me eternal life, but he can't forget that. He can't forget that. I know better. I know that's a big one. No, Jesus, did he pay for most or all? And he doesn't want us. This woman caught in adultery, he wanted her to stand up and he said, I don't condemn you, I forgive you. He wanted her to walk away in freedom. We have been justified through faith. God demonstrates his own love for us. While we were being really good, Christ died for us. No, while we were still sinners, he died for us. Since we now have been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? Did you know that God has wrath? Did you know? We don't like to talk about that. God has wrath. It's God, and the blood of Christ justifies us and calms his wrath. We're saved from his wrath through the blood of Christ. God loves us, and Christ died for us while we were still sinners, and it says that we're justified through faith in his blood. So what does that word justified mean? It's kind of a fancy word, but if you unpack that word a little bit, it basically is to regard as just, to regard as being innocent. And I love this. I learned this back when I went through Walk to Emmaus like 40 years ago, literally 40 years ago. Just as if, justification, just as if I've never sinned. It's like God looks at us and he doesn't see sin. He sees the blood of Jesus when we have accepted Jesus. So, I didn't do this in the first service, but it was struck me as I was, as we were worshiping. Sailor, you're a brave soul. Come here. Now, this is... this is an analogy. This is not anything against sailor. Let's say, like all of us, is a sinner. Christ has forgiven her. Her sin has been nailed to the cross, and this is the righteous robe of Christ. No, don't put it on. Just Christ wraps her. He wraps her in his righteousness. And when God looks at sailor, it's like he sees Christ because she's clothed in the righteousness of Christ. Amen. Thank you for being brave. We're justified just as if we've never sinned. And the results of justification is we have peace with God. Man, I tell you this. When we drag around, it's just like this ball and chain. We're just dragging around our pain and our past and our brokenness, and I'm saved, but I can't let go of this. God can't forget that. I can't forget that. And we're dragging it around. But when we let it go, when we understand that, no, that was nailed to the cross too. Not just for our eternity, but for today. Eternal life begins today. And we don't have to walk with that stuff. We don't have to drag that stuff around. And the result of that, it says, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And listen to this, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace into which we now stand. Right now. Not someday. now. We stand in His grace now, and we have peace. But we got to let it go. Jesus paid for our past, our pain, and our brokenness. And then finally, Jesus paid for our guilt and shame, which is closely associated with what we just talked about. I was telling the early service, this reminds me of the two thieves on the cross. And we know the story, probably know the story. One is cursing Jesus. Both of them deserved to be on. They had just punishment coming towards them. One was cursing Jesus, and the other said, Lord, he didn't even say Lord. He just said, remember me when you come into your kingdom. This man's done nothing. He's telling the other thief, this man's done nothing. And Jesus' response to the thief, he said, oh, if we could just come down off the cross and I could mentor you a little while. No, he didn't say that. Oh, if we could just get off the cross and I could baptize you. We got to do it right. Which we know how to do that right. No, Jesus didn't say those things. He said, because the thief came to him and was seeking mercy, and he said, you're going to be with me in paradise today. And can't you just imagine that thief? He knows that he's this dirty, rotten scoundrel. He's a sinner. And he's been nailed. He's been justly nailed to a cross and executed. And he finds himself at the gates of heaven. You can just see an angel. He's almost like he's got his clipboard. Billy Bob, what have you done? You've done some bad stuff, Billy Bob. Yeah, I know I have. Well, why are you here? I don't know. Where am I? Well, you're in heaven. What? Why do you deserve to be here? I don't. Well, why are you here? Because the man on the center cross said that I could come. He didn't deserve it. We don't deserve it. The guilt and the shame, I've said this so many times, I'm getting tired of hearing my own self say it, but guilt and shame doesn't come from God. If you're feeling guilty or have shame in your life, it's not from God, it's from the enemy, because he wants to keep us in bondage to shame and guilt for what we've done or haven't done. The thief just said, he said I could come. And I trust him. I'm here. Not deserving. We have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. Jesus said it this way, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He wants, if you're feeling those things, now guilt and shame is different than conviction. God wants to convict us of our sin, but he never shames us. If you're feeling guilt and shame, that's not from the Lord. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, Jesus said, but I've come that you may have life and have it to the full, have it more abundantly, completely. It is for freedom that we've been set free in Christ. So I was telling the early service that there's two things that I hope we all walk out of here today with. Number one, I hope if you don't know this Jesus that I'm talking about, I mean, it's not about him. We probably all know about him. I mean, do you know him? Please don't leave without knowing him. And the second is, if you know him, don't take any of your stuff out of here. Don't drag whatever you drug in, leave it here. Don't drag it back out with you. It's for freedom that we've been set free. Man, what a beautiful thing. Christ wants us to be set free, to live, to have the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. He wants us to have freedom through Christ. There's most of you have seen, maybe heard about the Romans Road. It's kind of old school. It's kind of God's plan of salvation. But it's so good. We need to revisit it from time to time, and I'm going to do that this morning. It's in your handout. You can follow me there. But the way I tell people to keep up with that, you don't have to carry a piece of paper around with you with the Romans Road, although that's cool too. Get your Bible, and whatever, you don't have to do it right now. I'm just telling you how to do this. whatever is the most well-known passage in your mind. It could be John 3:16, it could be Psalm 23, whatever, something that's very, that you'll always know how to where to go to get to that. And in the margin of that passage, write Romans 3:23. Did you know it's okay? Not only okay, but it's good to write in your Bible and highlight your Bible. Did you know that? That's a good thing. Write in the margin of that whatever passage you're at, write Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So that's the groundwork. It's like none of us are good enough. None of us are exempt. We come out of the wound needing a Savior. Did you know that? And then, so Romans 3:23, go to Romans 3:23, and in the margin there, write Romans 6:23. For all of sin fall short of the glory of God, Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin, the consequences of sin, the punishment of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus, our Lord. And then, so then you go to Romans 6:23, the one you just wrote, and you write in that margin Romans 5:8. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And then you go to Romans 5:8 and you write Romans 10:9. This is all there in your handout. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Which means, to be saved means we've come out of the womb in need of a Savior. We all need a Savior. You want to know how to be saved? Confess Jesus is Lord, believe in your heart God raised him from the dead. Confess it. Publicly confess it. And you will be saved. So again, I just pray and hope that no one leaves this place dragging the junk that we drag around. Yeah, God, I know, Jesus, I know you died for me. I know you've forgiven me of my sin, and I know you've purchased my eternal life. But man, this thing right here that you can't forgive me, and if you can forgive me, I can't forgive myself. When we can't forgive ourselves, but we know God forgives us, guess what? We're placing our opinion above God's. Hello, Suzanne. It's like, God, I know you forgive me, but I can't forgive myself here, so I'm just going to hang on to this. I invite the praise team to come up if you'll bow your heads with me. Before I pray, go ahead and open your eyes for just a second. I want to read this to you. I read it this morning in the paper. Some of y'all knew. Trying to remember his last name. Mark. What was Rogers. Mark Rogers. He was. I did not know him, but I hear really good things about him. He was a director of Big Brothers Big Sisters. Was killed. Driving home from a vacation with his family about 2 years ago, and he's driving down the highway, and this man who was high on pharmaceutical drugs they are estimating he was driving 125 miles an hour, and he ran into their vehicle and killed Mark and wounded a couple of his kids. They all survived. That man that hit him was found guilty of murder, manslaughter, I think was the actual title, but. And was sentenced to life in prison this week. And the family got a chance to speak at the end. And I read this, and it really stirred me and touched me. And it goes to God's heart, I believe. Mark's wife was sharing, and she said that not long after the accident, one of their little daughters, little girl, was praying. Her name is Hope. The mom repeated her prayer, and she said, here's what she's been praying it ever since then. Dear God, thank you for Mom, Halen, Hunter, and my friends. And dear God, be with James Wells, who was the one who killed her daddy in the vehicle. Be with James Wells and his family. He's had some hard times, but he needs to be treated fairly. And dear God, tell Daddy I love him. That's the heart of God for us. It's like, man, that man's deserving of the punishment that he's getting. But this little girl says, forgive him. That's the heart of God for us, church. We're deserving of this punishment. But God wants to forgive us. He wants to show us mercy. Now go ahead and bow your heads. Jesus, thank you for the cross. It's a debt that we can never repay, but we can be thankful. Help us to walk in freedom. We pray against the schemes of the enemy that would want to bind us up in our past and our pain and our brokenness and our guilt and our shame. He'd want to keep us bound up in that so we couldn't walk in freedom. But Jesus, you've come to give us life today. You've come to give us righteousness that we live in, this grace that we live in today. Show us how to walk it out, Lord. I pray, Holy Spirit, that even now, right here in this room, anybody who's is not assured of that, is not assured of even their salvation, not assured that you've paid the price for it all, would you show them how much you love them? Call them by name right now. Show them how much you love them. You've already shown us through the cross, but demonstrate it very clearly in people's hearts right now. We love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Because Jesus paid it all, we have been set free.
Amen.
That's good news, church.
Yes, it is.
Not just for us, but it's good news to share.
Yes, it is.
Go and tell someone. We're dismissed. Amen. God bless you.
Hi, this is Pastor Jeff Hatcher with Wiley Methodist Church in Abilene, Texas. I want to thank you for listening to this message from God's Word today. If you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, He loves you and He wants to be your friend and your Savior. If that is you, I ask you to pray this prayer with me. Lord, I confess that I am a sinner. I ask you to forgive me of my sin. I ask you to come into my heart and be my Lord and my Savior and wash me as white as snow. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer today for the first time, I invite you to do four things. First of all, tell someone, share this decision with someone. We are better together than we are alone. And then also, I ask you to consider being baptized. Jesus himself set the example for us by being baptized himself, and he encourages us to do the same. And then I ask you to consider finding a Bible-believing and Bible-preaching church and plug in. Again, we are better together than alone. And then finally, I ask you to get into God's Word. It's not just because it is makes us a better person, but also because it is the living Word, and God speaks to us through His Word. The Gospel of John is a great place to begin. If I can help you and be of any sort of assistance through this process, you can contact me at my email address, jhatcher@wileymethodist.org. God bless you.